The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from midday. It'll be Ross Brierley, Will Smith and Gary Capewell in the studio. It's the second day of the Hennessy meeting at Newbury. We also have racing from Doncaster and Musselburgh. And then in the evening, Wolverhampton and Dundalk on their respective polytracks. Plenty to look forward to then. My name is Mark Walton and joining me on the line is Catherine Fry. How are you, Catherine?
Good, thanks, Mark. You're right.
Yeah, good, thank you. Not bad at all. We're into the second day of the Hennessy meeting, so some good racing coming from Newbury. So we're going to look ahead to that later on in the podcast. But before we get there, let's just talk about a few of the news stories and a couple of the big races at the weekend. But before we get to the weekend action, let's start with the December Gold Cup Handicap Chase. I was trying to think of a link to get into that because it's we'll forget about this week. Let's talk about December's racing.
Let's go for that.
Yeah, second week of December, the 14th of December, is the December Gold Cup Handicap Chase. And the reason I want to talk to you about it is because Paddy Power Gold Cup winner John's Spirit is in the lineup. You tipped him to win the race. He went on to do so, but he's second favourite with us at 8-1 behind Colour Squadron, who was 7-1, who finished second in the Paddy Power, of course. And the betting then suggesting that the places should be reversed. Do you agree with that?
I have to say, I didn't expect Colour Squadron to feature anywhere near the finish of the Paddy Power Gold Cup, so I'll have to make him now a serious danger to John Spirit. I was very impressed. The old jumping problem seemed to have completely gone. I mean, coming to the line, it did. I must admit, I was sort of almost hanging on to myself, like just willing John Spirit to hang on. I personally don't think that John Spirit has been that harshly treated. So he's on 1.48 now. I think he can go in again. To be honest, he's very tough. He takes his he could say he had quite a tough race in the Paddy Power Gold Cup. But if you look back to last season, he ran at Cheltenham, he ran at Aintree, and he ran at Ayr. He takes his racing very well. He's still a young horse. I think I said it on the pod last week, Mark. I wouldn't put John Spirit out of place of lining up in something like the Ryanair. So with that in mind, you would think that he can easily go in off 1.48 here. So I will be siding with him again. I think 8-1 is still a very fair price. I may have to avail myself of some of that. Of course, you have to write Colour Squadron in. See, we've got Eastern Meteor, who was unlucky when he came down. Obviously, we'll be talking about Eastern Meteor when we talk about tomorrow's racing. Got Balinagore in there again. I mean, how many? He looks that his problems of old are back and really sort of haunting him. I think the interesting one there could be Mel de Berve. Reading a press release yesterday, Tom George is quite sweet on his chances. I'm not sure if we would see Kid Cassidy. Got Regina Express there, but obviously, look, John Spirit's put him in his place already. Yeah, I'm still with him, Mark.
Okay, still with John Spirit then. Bidding to follow in the hoofprints of Exotic Danza, who won both races in 2006 for John Joe O'Neill. Only a few horses have done so, in fact. Signor El Batruti did it in 1997 and Pegwell Bay in 1988. So it's a bit of a rare occurrence.
It is, and it's weird you talk about obviously Exotic Dancer. He was a six-year-old going into Paddy Power, and he won it off the same mark for the same trainer. And I mean, if you look at Exotic, the heights that Exotic Dancer scaled to sort of then become a main rival to Corto Star. Do you know what I mean? I think I'm convinced John Spirit will be involved in a major Grade One in the season.
Okay. Well, we'll see how that pans out. That's the middle of December, though. Let's concentrate on things a little bit closer to hand, but not too close just yet. We'll start with the weekend action. Hennessy Gold Cup is the feature at Newbury this weekend, and wide open as you'd expect. Lord Windermere is the 7-1 favourite at the time of recording. Invictus is now 8-1 with Our Father and Rocky Creek. Merry King 10-1, Hadrian's Approach 11s. Highland Lodge 12-1 with Katenko. Pranster Boshen is 14-1, as is Trio Deline, and then it's 16-1 for Hublon Des Obo and 20-1 or bigger prices the rest. As it stands at the moment, Catherine, who do you fancy for the Hennessy?
I've been with Rocky Creek ever since. Probably, well, I've always had Rocky Creek in my mind as an ideal type for the Hennessy. I've said this quite a lot on sort of various platforms. When Rocky Creek beat Highland Lodge by 15 lengths at Warwick at the beginning of this year, I thought, brilliant, we're finally getting to see the real Rocky Creek. Daryl Jacob gets on with him very, very well. Newbury is a course that's going to play to his strengths. He's going to be able to get into a lovely rhythm and pop away. You see him do that. He's particularly fond of Doncaster. Newbury wouldn't be a million miles away in sort of terms of track characteristics. I think he's... I personally see Rocky Creek as almost as a future Grand National winner as well, Mark. I think he's a very, very high-class staying chaser. I know that Jim Collotti is being very bullish about Lord Windermere, and look, the RSA winner, he says that he thinks he's improved. He certainly wouldn't have to have improved any really to take this. I still can't sway myself from Rocky Creek.
Okay, Rocky Creek then in the Hennessy Gold Cup, and the other big race this weekend is the Fighting Fifth Hurdle. That's up at Newcastle. And my 10 or yours is the 4-5 favourite for that one. Melodic Rendezvous 5-2, Grametti 8s, Cockney Sparrow 12s, Cotton Mill and Duke of Navan both 16s. It's then 100-1 for Stormy Weather and Rock Relief for 150-1 Shock. Can you see past my 10 or yours at 4-5?
Yeah, I can. People have become quite rude about my 10 or yours, and it's not that I don't like the horse. I think he's, of course, he's a fantastic. That's the animal, and I don't just think that he's a flat track bully, as we saw. He ran a cracking race in the Supreme. My problem with his run in the Supreme is I don't think he wants to fight. If you look back to the Betfair Hurdle, and if you obviously his facile successor at Aintree in April, he has things very much his own way. He can boss it from the front. He couldn't do that in the Supreme. He got into a bit of a scrap with Champagne Fever. Champagne Fever, a battle-hardened horse who had already won the previous year at Cheltenham. Shown his, I mean, I think when you talk in terms of Champagne Fever, he's an exceptional horse. So to finish that close to him, of course, where else are you going to go with my 10 of yours? If he was my horse, I would be campaigning him towards the Champion Hurdle. I think that when he comes up against something who is a real battler and really, really, really wants to fight, I think he will always be the first one to wave the white flag. I personally won't be backing him at 8-11, although I'm not going to fall over in shock if he wins, because I fully expect my turn to yours to win races like this, and I'll be backing my turn to yours when he goes to the Christmas Hurdle. So I thought that is absolutely tailor-made for him. He's got plenty of speed. There's a horse in there that will fight all day long, and that's Melodic Rendezvous, as tough as he come. So he won his comeback race at Wincanton, Slam Puffin Billy at Exeter, won the Tolworth at Sandown. I still think he's very much an underrated horse, to be honest with you. Obviously, he had a setback before the Cheltenham Festival, which made him miss the Supreme. I was gutted about that. I think he could have served it. I still think all we know about Champagne Fever would have won the Supreme. No doubt in my mind at all this horse would be in the shake-up. I've got no doubt in my mind that this horse will be in the shake-up of the Champion Hurdle as well. He absolutely loves Cheltenham, and he will fight against my turn to yours tomorrow, and he's my selection for the race.
Okay, Melodic Rendezvous then to win the Fighting Fifth for Catherine. Let's move on to Friday's action though. That's why we're here. And three races at Newbury. You've picked out, Catherine, the 130, the 205 and the 240. So we'll start in the 130, which is a Potemps Network Handicap Hurdle Series qualifier. It's a Class 3 handicap over the extended 3 miles. And shall we start here with Free to Dream, who comes here from the informed Venetia Williams yard and won very easily at Market Raising last time. That's a penalty to defy, but clearly in good form at the moment.
Yeah, he is. Obviously, he was the form of the race at Cheltenham. I mean, Thomas Crapper. Why didn't we all back Thomas Crapper? He was absolutely still thrown in on 1-2-8. The overall profile of the Thomas Crapper race looks genuine and looks like it will have implications on future events like this. He's still 12-1 in a race like this. mark when you've got so many. There's a couple of interesting types now. I'll get to my main fancy last. You've got Kilmer, horses like Kilmervie and Seventh Sign are renewing their rivalry. You know, Barry Geraghty again taking the ride on valid reason for Dean Ivory. He was a staying on second in heavy ground at Sandown. Very interesting here, you've got 1833 coming back hurdling after the kind of wheels came off the bus a bit, really, didn't they? In his chasing campaigns, if you go back a couple of years, he actually won a Grade 2 chase at the track. That was in 2010. He was a 150 rated chaser. Yet in here a mark of 132 is hurdles racing. If you'd have to think Connections would have given up by now. They're obviously still seeing something. It makes him a fascinating contender here. Manila for Stake. He's got the tongue strap and the cheek pieces back on. He seems to be best suited by a bit of a give. So obviously the good ground that we are going to be experiencing in Newbury is a slight concern, obviously represented by exactly the same Connections that actually won the Potemps final this year in Holywell. My fancy for the race is Western Warhorse. I thought he was given a super ride by Maurice Linehan in the conditional jockey's hurdle at the open meeting. That was over 2.5 miles. He won at Chepstow the time before that, 2.4 miles, and he was going away. Here's a 5-year-old, obviously he'd be 6 at the turn of the year. He had a 6-year-old, just mentioned Holywell there. Holywell won the Potemps this year as a 6-year-old. Western Warhorse is now starting to factor on my radar for the Potemps final. Obviously, you have to finish in the first 8 to qualify. If we go back to the run I was just talking about there at Cheltenham, he was touched off by his stablemate Home Run. Home Run again ran with absolute credit behind the very impressive Moor of that last weekend up at Haydock. The Pipe Stable's in blinding form, gets in here off the same mark of 125, seems versatile with regards to ground. I'm really fancy him tomorrow.
Okay. Western Warhorse then for Catherine in the 130 at Newbury. Moving on to the 205 next, this is the feature race. It's the Grade 2 Fuller's London Pride Novices Chase, which was the Berkshire Novices Chase in Old Money. It's over 2.5 miles and 5 of them in the lineup, and we're likely to see Wonderful Charm at the top of the betting. He was a pretty good hurdler. He won the Persian War Novices Hurdle last season and was mid-division in the, well, say mid-division, well-beaten in the end in the World Hurdle, but that was a difficult contest, of course. Twice raced over fences in Novices Chases, won his debut at Fakenham and then followed up in the Grade 2 Rising Stars Novices Chase at Wincanton. So clearly a decent chase prospect. Do you think he'll continue his unbeaten run over the larger obstacles on Friday?
I expect him to, Mark, but the one thing I'm slightly concerned about, if we talk about Tanaka Emery first, obviously he does have to give £7 to Tanaka Emery, who is a very decent prospect. He's back chasing after a very good run in the Greatwood Hurdle, which he came fifth to Del Arca. Fully expect more. I think we'll probably be looking back at the Greatwood Hurdle come March and seeing that you've got an awful lot of winners coming out of that race. The one concern with Tanaka Emery, he does look a bit of a mudlark, and obviously we are going to get good ground. I think he would have beaten Rare Star on his chase debut, but he fluffed the last. Going back to Wonderful Charm, very impressive on his chase debut at Fakenham, and he looked for a minute like he might get beat by Fox Appeal at Wincanton last time out, and he gamely. One thing that really impressed me there was how game he was to fight back to take the race by a length. He had a good yardstick back in third. Third Intention, obviously, he runs today as we record this on Thursday. It's Thursday. I almost forgot the day then. Yes, I do. I think he's tough. I think he was possibly pitched in a little bit too far in the World Hurdle. But saying that, he didn't disgrace himself. Ran with absolute credit. If it was softer going with the weight difference, I would side with Tanaka Emery. But I think you have to go for Wonderful Charm. I can't really look at the one for Pelly, fully capable on his day, but I can't really see him. It is between Wonderful Charm and Tanaka Emery, and in terms of ground and what I expect Wonderful Charm to go on, I'll go with Wonderful Charm.
Okay, Wonderful Charm then in the 205 and on to the 240 next. This is a Class 2 handicap chase over 2.5 miles. And in a similar story to the 130, we have a Venetia Williams horse going into this in good form. This one is a nice one, Frankie, and he bolted up at Ascot last time. So another one that's in good form. Are you taking this one on as well?
think I will, though I'm scared of him. She that he said won at Ascot on Friday. Just the £6 extra to carry does have form around Newbury. Both Venetia Williams stable is absolutely sort of firing. This does look very likely. Pauline Robson brings two down here, and the one out of the two, the one I'm most interested in is Absalom Blur. He stayed on over 2 mile 1 at Kelso. He has won at 2 mile 4. He actually got put up £2 for the Kelso run, so obviously did catch the handicapper's eye a little bit. That said, nicely weighted here. Timmy Murphy on board. We just talked about Eastern Meteor there when we talked about the Paddy Power. He was running an absolute blinder when he came down at the last and obviously interfered a bit with Colour Squadron. Raised £3 for his trouble in that. Of course, he would have been very involved in the shake-up of the race. We all know there's a big day handicap in him. I'm never too keen on backing horses coming back after fall, even though I wouldn't be shocked if he did win this. I think, you know, Quinn's looked an absolute sort of superstar a couple of years ago. I've kind of got my own theory about that. I think that he was faced with the Grand National fences too early on in his career, and I don't know, something just seems to have sort of happened a little bit mentally with him. I suppose we have to talk about the Paul Nicholls horse, Grandioso, not seen since winning the Grade 2 at Kempton in February, beating Molotov. The one reason why I wouldn't just quite side with him here, some of the Paul Nicholls horses have been sort of, you know, he's admitted it himself, have been sort of slow to come to hand and not really firing first time out. So I think we'll put a line through there. Obviously, we talk about Cedra Blue as well, another from the Nicholls stable. Looks first choice on jockey bookings. I think he was disappointing at Cheltenham in April. Kind of just emptied when he went off favourites. I'll go with Upsilon Blue.
Okay. Upsilon Blue then in the 240. It's not the 240. Sorry about that. Yeah, it is the 240.
It is, yeah.
I was looking at 240 at Kempton's result from back in February and I confused myself. Okay, so Upsilon Blue then in the 240. Let's have a quick summary as we usually do. Of your selections, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay, we'll go from the top of the programme. So, December Gold Cup, still on side with John Spirit. In the Fighting Fifth, Melodic Rendezvous. In the Hennessy, we will go with Rocky Creek. In the Potemps Qualifier, be with the David Pipe Western Warhorse. Very unoriginally in the 205, Wonderful Charm, purely on ground purposes. And in the 240, I'll take a chance on Absalom Blue.
Good stuff. Thank you very much again, Catherine. Now, before you go, you remember our match bet from the last one?
Yeah. Go on.
Yes.
For the benefit of the listeners, I have paid Mark for that.
Okay. I was going to say, should we have a rematch?
Go on. Yeah. Point?
Yeah. We'll do it in the 1:30 at Newbury, shall we?
Okay.
You went for Western Warhorse.
Western Warhorse, yeah.
I'll go with a Venetia Williams horse, and I'll go Free to Dream in that.
Okay.
One.
Hot chocolate still, same stakes.
Yes.
Awesome.
Okay. Right.
All nice right.
One. Thank you very much. Good luck with the selections on Friday, and we'll speak to you again next week. Are you back in Racing Radio anytime soon?
Yeah, I'm back up on the 16th, so not too long at all.
Okay. Well, good stuff. Enjoy it on Friday.
Thanks, Mark.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.